Be sure to go to 96.5thefan.com for the Fiery Hot Sevens contest, where you can win a $30 instant scratch ticket, and one person will win the grand prize, a Bobby Witt Jr. autographed jersey and framing, all thanks to our friends at the Kansas Lottery.
When do you guys want this Desmond Love update, you know?
Maybe at the Trash of the Day might be a little shorter today.
Okay.
So maybe we'll do it like right around the Trash of the Day.
For any of those who have been keeping track, Desmond's head over heels, and we have a slight update.
Okay.
After he told me more coming off the bus yesterday.
All right. So we're going to learn the update together coming up in just a little bit. Video stream, of course, up and running as always. Feel to watch the show on YouTube. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. Makes it easy so you don't miss this show or Fesco and Dusty or The Drive. You can also watch on Twitch, Twitter, X, Facebook, you name it. Wherever you social, you can check out the show. You can see Drew's got a brand new cut. Someone was commenting on that earlier. Brand new cut. The blonde hair is gone.
Yeah. Here, I can show
short,
people real quick.
Short, short cut. You're wearing some shorts straight out of 1998 retro. I mean, different look today. All new look, Drew.
He kind of looks like an island boy. Like he just like he got off the beach. He's just ready to drink like a Corona, like in a commercial almost.
Completely different look today. Like just a complete reset on the look.
Mm-hmm. Fresh it's spring, look. You know, he's starting fresh.
Yeah.
No more blonde tips, man. What a run.
I think it looks way better without the blonde.
Really?
Way
Drew, better put yourself on camera for a second. For those who might want to see the video stream, let's get a good look at Drew.
More importantly, what did your wife think? Because that's all that matters, ultimately.
The funniest thing, her first comment, she does like it, but she was like, looks like you're ready to go to the Army or something.
Oh, she thinks she got like the high and tight, high and tight, Army
no,
cut.
No, it's a fade. They don't like high and tight. They don't like
it. Yeah, I wanted to make sure that it looks more like a less fade than. Instead of just, because normally, the haircut that I grew up with before I let my hair grow out longer always was just an 8 all around. It was just the same length all the way around, where now...
8?
8 on top,
like
started a zero skin fade all the way up, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see scalp. I can see skin. So, brand new look.
But yeah, the blonde is gone. It was time. It was funny. The person who cuts my hair, she was like, are you sure you want to cut it? Yes, I am sure. She made sure a couple of times. But yeah, the blonde is retired. Had it since September, since week
you
two.
You didn't let Rye cut it after she was the one who'd originally dyed it?
No, because I wanted it done, and I wanted it done. I went home, and I was like, you know what? I'm getting it cut right now.
No, it was time. It was time.
Time to
new
look.
Fresh start. Someone says, "Get your wine." Someone says, "Get your wine cooler, Drew. You're ready to go now. You're ready to go as well." All right, let's get back to the Royals, and then I want to get to I think a really cool story going on right now in college basketball. That's in 8 minutes or so. We were just talking about some rule changes that Max Scherzer proposed. Let's talk Royals in particular. Spring training, of course, underway still, and now I think it's the point where like you get to this portion of spring training, you're like, okay, I've had enough spring training. Let's get to opening day, please. But our spring training coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Park and Go. KC's premier airport parking destination. Every sport, every team, the word regression comes up. Is
and
this
it's
the
fair.
Year where
people
you regress?
Do regress.
Right? We had the conversation yesterday about the AFC West and who regresses. Do the Chiefs regress or does Bo Nix regress and all that? The Royals rotation last year was the biggest reason they were in the postseason. The biggest reason why the season went the way it did. Where do you think this Royals rotation can finish among the American League?
Because that's all we care about for this sake. I don't care if they're better than the Dodgers rotation.
They don't need to be the overall MLB ranking doesn't matter. It's where are they at in the AL, the teams that ultimately are going to battle for a playoff spot. And honestly, even more importantly, where are they at in the AL Central if we want to really narrow it down? And the good news, not that I want to see anybody get hurt, is the Yankees rotation.
It's better than theirs now.
No Gerrit Cole, he's done. Tommy John. Luis Gil. The rookie of the year from a year ago, he's out for, I believe, 2 to 3 months, give or take. They have some other bodies in that rotation, but that's a team that you would have said for sure had a better rotation probably before. I mean, Gerrit Cole, Cy Young candidate, Heel, rookie of the year, you know, they don't have that anymore in their division. Even if regression happens, I think they can still be one of the top half rotations in the American League. Who else has Reagans with Lugo and Walker? Who else has like 1-2-3 capability like that? Not many other teams in the AL have that.
So the only issue you would question, I think, is depth. Based on the sheer number of innings you'll get out of there, they've got to be one of the best teams in the American League. Based on like the top end talent, they're probably like, hey, there's guys who have better number one starters or better aces. Okay.
Yeah, look at any of the Cy Young candidates.
But like depth in the top 3 or 4, I'd say good. Depth after 5, I feel like becomes an issue because it's a complete unknown.
But who has 5? Who has a good number 5 starter?
Like, that will in the end determine, like last year they were able to cover that a little bit better. And so I fear for what an injury looks like unless there's like a Kyle Wright who's just going to come onto the scene a little bit quicker than I think. I think without even with regression, the floor is the fifth best rotation in the American League. Maybe I'm way off here. That's just even with regression. If Seth Lugo goes back to, and what I'll say about Seth Lugo, if Seth Lugo goes back to like an average starter, what they're doing with Seth Lugo is the current industry norm. Credit to the Royals for being on it. That's happening in a number of spots in baseball over the last 2 years. Look at Clay Holmes. He's a former reliever. We don't necessarily mention him as a guy who's coming back to earth just because he was a reliever. And so that's happening more in baseball over just the last two seasons. It's a very new trend to take these back-end relievers and then make them back into starters instead of what we had been doing up to that point. And maybe it's because I think Chris Bubich. Maybe that's what it is. My floor on Bubich is much higher than it's been in years, and maybe that's why I think it is. But I honestly think their floor is like the fifth best American League rotation, and they definitely have the best one in the division.
Yeah, they're number one in the AL Central rotation. I think after that, you know, you go through the Guardians might have the third or fourth best rotation. I think the Twins have the second best rotation, don't you think? Pretty easily. In this division, and then I would go Tigers. Maybe Vern disagrees with me. We can check with him later on the show. I would go Royals 1, Twins 2, Tigers 3, Guardians 4.
Obviously, even with Skubal, I probably for the entirety of rotation.
That's the
Skubal's just so much better than like they got the best pitcher.
So does that automatically move them from? Maybe that's fair.
Maybe
I'm thinking 1 through 5, but you're probably right. If you have a guy that's that dominant, is that enough to just leapfrog you? Probably that's fair. Maybe you could talk me into the Tigers having the second best, but I think the Royals have the best in the American League Central. And if you're going to do that and you look across the divisions, and that puts you in that 5 to 7 range at worst for a rotation.
Yeah, give or take. I mean, it's not like way different than that for a rotation, but like I just think 5 or 6 is the floor.
Well, see, here's a national perspective on this very topic. So New York Times put out their rankings across all of this, all of baseball. So the number one AL rotation they have is the Mariners. Like, hard to argue. Castillo, Kirby, Gilbert. They have the second best in the AL as the Toronto Blue Jays. Gausman, Berrios, Spassett, Kikuchi. They also had, let's see, is this, that can't be right. This has to be an old article. Some of these names are not, Kikuchi's on the Astros now. This cannot be an up-to-date one. This is at the end of last year. There's no way.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no way. That didn't make any sense once I saw Kikuchi's name. I was like, wait a second. He's in the Astros organization, or he got traded towards the end of last season. I was trying to see, and the fact that the second American League team rotation was eighth or whatever, that can't be right. So I'll try to find an updated list. I wanted to get a national perspective.
Here's CBS Sports from February 24th. This is their power rankings.
This year?
Picking baseball's top 10 rotations. Okay. So the only way the Royals are going to be on the list. They have the Pittsburgh Pirates at number 10, the Detroit Tigers at number 9, the Rangers at 8, the Red Sox at 7.
Well, the Royals aren't going to be on the list then.
I'm not liking it. We're getting a little too low here. Braves.
But this is also pre-Yankees injury, but the Yankees.
Yeah, they got the Yankees at 4th, but this was pre-injury, so you know that they'd be off the list. Mariners 2nd, Phillies 1st, and Dodgers 1st, or just Phillies 2nd, Dodgers 1st. So they didn't have the Royals in the top 10, in fairness.
So they would say that the Tigers have the best division in the AL Central.
I think it's the
best rotation in the division.
I think it's the Skubal part. That's the part that really shakes for people, because it's hard to ignore the fact that they have the best pitcher in the American League. And also, I don't think there's anyone in baseball that doesn't think they have a top 50% in all of baseball, rotation. So like, it's hard to imagine that they're going to be bottom 5 to 7 in the AL.
That same article you found, which is actually from this year. Thank you for finding one from 2025. The honorable mention, Astros, Royals, Twins, Reds, Padres. So the Royals were on honorable mention for that. So they're just outside the top 10 in all baseball.
So yeah, they think that, and it just depends on the people that you're talking about based on that conversation.
Someone says Kikuchi sounds made up. No, he was a pitcher for the Blue Jays, and then he was he was traded to the Astros late in the season. I don't know where he actually is at now, but that's weird that was the name that set me off on the.
You say
article.
Kikuchi is just a fun name to say.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Someone said that's just completely made up. No, I don't know. Now I just want to know where he's at. Kikuchi, where do you think he's at?
Dodgers. That's where everyone goes.
That's actually just a good guess for any pitcher, and that's true at this point.
Well, and honestly, Japanese-based pitchers oftentimes go to the coasts. So Angels or Dodgers would be my guess.
We'll find out. I can't spell it. It's pulling up other pitchers.
Okay. He is a Los Angeles Angel of Anaheim. Just pulled it up.
Different LA team.
Told you. Like I was like, just the coast guess is usually.
Are we still calling them the Angels of Anaheim? Is that still what we're doing?
I don't know. Their logo still says AAA.
The old logo is so freaking good. They need to just become the Anaheim Angels and just forget about the whole LA part. Maybe they'd play better. I don't know.
That's debatable. I mean, maybe they'd play better, but that's debatable.
Maybe be some good luck for Mike Trout injury-wise, too? I don't know.
For his sake, I hope so. I mean, baseball's better if he's around.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, of course it is.
Go back to the pinstripe jerseys, too.
I don't root for the best players in any sport to not play. The sports, any of the sports we watch, are way more fun if those people are available. Gold, you got a hot name in college basketball?
Yeah, this is a great story. You're going to hear the name even more and more in the next week or so. Some of you already have heard it. I'm talking about Ben McCollum.
Oh, Northwest Missouri State.
43 years old.
I understand he's a Drake now.
You're good. That's part of the story, though, right? He was at D2, Northwest Missouri State, had great success there. Takes the Drake job after Drake's old coach is now the head coach at West Virginia. He takes Drake to a regular season Valley Crown. They win the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament in St. Louis this past Sunday. So they get the auto bid. They don't have to sweat out the bubble, which, yes, for that conference, even at 30 wins, they would have been sweating a little bit. And now there's a report from Jeff Goodman that he is potentially a leading candidate for the Indiana job. So for starters, I'll get to Indiana in a second. For starters, what an amazing story. This is one of the coolest rises we have ever seen for a coach.
So fast.
11 months ago, he's up in Maryville, Missouri, and now he's taken a team to an NCAA tournament with a lot of the same players from Northwest Missouri State at Drake now, and he's in line to potentially get the job at Indiana. Like, that's just remarkable. The guy can clearly coach, and it should be a reminder for people that say, oh, you know, D2, you know, the upgrade. I understand it didn't work out for Missouri when Kim Anderson went to Mizzou. That was a disaster.
That went bad.
But the name escapes me. There's the Texas Tech head coach. He was a D2 guy way back when as well. And he's obviously doing great things for Texas Tech now. So maybe this is a wake-up call for athletic directors in different parts. My question for him is going to be...
Graham McCasland.
Thank you. At Texas Tech, yes. So, Indiana, this is not meant to be a shot at Drake or Ben McCollum. I just told you, I think he's doing a hell of a job. The fact that Indiana is having him as a leading candidate... It's another reminder that Indiana is so far off of what they were. Look, ultimately, you want to hire the right guy, and Ben McCollum might be the right guy. It's just that a Duke, a Kansas, a Kentucky, those schools where Indiana used to be part of that conversation, they would just never hire a guy who's only coached in the NCAA
or the D1 level, I should say.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. It doesn't mean that it's a shot at anybody. It's just that's another sign of how far off Indiana is that they are potentially going to hire him. Now, he might be that dude, and he ends up just having great success in what Indiana has. Would you take the Indiana job if you were him?
Yes. Because if I take that job and it works, I might be coaching Kentucky in like 5 years.
Or Kansas.
Like, I'm not kidding. That trajectory is so fast that if he takes the Indiana, and I know it's crazy, it's like, hey man, maybe you shouldn't just leave every year. And it speaks to his recruiting level because he just took the kids from Northwest Missouri State, threw them into Division I basketball. They immediately were a 30-win caliber team who's going to the NCAA tournament with the same D2 kids he was coaching at Northwest Missouri State. So, like, if he could turn Indiana, he can just flat coach. Yeah. So if he could take Indiana and make them a perennial tournament team for 3 or 4 years in a row, then he's going to get a blue blood. Yep. Like, he's going to get a blue blood job.
He's only 43.
That's part of the reason I'd take the job. Now, maybe would I be tempted to just be like, a couple years at Drake? The problem is, if you do a couple years at Drake, you risk the Shaka Smart triangle where you want to be like peak powers and then go take a big boy job like he got Texas. And it didn't work out. Now he's coaching
well
again.
He's doing very well at Marquette. It's perfect for him there.
He's found like a level of basketball where he's perfect to recruit and play and coach at. He might get another big boy job. Marquette's a great job. But
I think he'll stay. I think he learned his lesson. Like, Texas was not for him.
Yeah, for him. But so, like, if he continues this trajectory, Ben McCollum might end up as a, I mean, he might get
it's just an awesome story.
A huge job.
It's awesome, honestly. It's pretty wild. And heck, this is before they've even played a tournament game. Let's just say Drake wins a game or two in the next week, next Thursday or Friday.
Fully capable.
And they're definitely capable. I don't know exactly where they'll be seated, but they're going to be a team that I promise you, no matter who they play, they will be one of the sexy upset picks. I don't even know. I don't even have to know who they're playing. I can promise you, you will hear the minute the bracket comes out Sunday.
I like Drake to get 2D.
Watch out. That's Drake squad. That's going to be the sexy pick everybody has winning their first round game.
I did not go to IU. I went to Butler, and it's always fun to make fun of IU because a ton of my friends went there. They wanted me to go there with them. I was like, no, I'm not going to IU like the rest of you guys. I like to make fun of IU, of course. But if he gets IU to be good, I don't think he would ever leave because Indiana would keep on paying him the money. If he got Indiana being back to where, let's say Tom Crean, of course Tom Crean can coach as well as
TV nowadays.
But he got them to be number one in the country. You know, Victor Oladipo, Cody Zeller, and those guys. If Ben McCollum got them to that point where they're top 10 regularly, I don't think Indiana would let him leave because if Kansas offers him whatever, Indiana's like, hey, we'll give you an extra 10. It doesn't matter. We'll give
you might
you
be right.
We'll give you the lifetime contract.
Do you think you know, if you're
because
McCollum,
Indiana's that big of a deal, I think that they would, when Indiana's at its peak, when Indiana's at its peak, I want to make sure that I say this. They're not as good as Kansas from a historical perspective. However, they are as big as Kansas basketball if Indiana basketball is good.
Yeah, the only
you
thing
mean like at the state?
Or in general?
Because in general, I think that ship is long.
Yeah, it's been 30 years, dude.
But I'm saying when they're good, if he can get them to be consistently good, they are as popular, as hated as Kansas basketball
Not anymore.
Can be.
Not anymore. Nobody cares. Like when you come to the big bad villain.
In the state, of course, yes. But I think it would be.
You got to be relevant. You got to be relevant for way longer. They haven't been relevant in so long. Not consistently relevant. I'm not saying they haven't been to an NCAA tournament.
They haven't done anything in the tournament because
they haven't.
Tom Crean.
He was great in Shawshank Redemption, though. He was really good in that movie.
Tom Crean's a great recruiter. That's why he got good classes. But
he looks just like Andy Dufresne, for those that are wondering what
anyways,
we're talking about.
Maybe that's just me and the home roots of Indiana being like, it's as big of a deal. But
I think that's what
I really think that in
a little home cooking.
It is Indiana basketball being good. It's like the Lakers in Indiana basketball being good is good for college basketball.
Since 2000, Indiana.
They've been bad.
Did go, of course, in 2002 to a national championship game. Since 2002, their deepest run has
Sweet
been
16,
Sweet 16, one, two times.
Yep.
Yeah, they're just irrelevant. That's 30 years. I mean, everybody who's 25 years, anybody who's watched those teams now doesn't care. Like there's not anyone under the age of 30 who realizes or 40 they realized Indiana was like a once proud.
And maybe
program.
This is an age thing too. This is though like why I think what Cody and I are saying is like since I've been born, Indiana has been to two Final Fours. Like you know what I mean? Like that's no, it. They've been to two Final Fours and I'm 34 years old. Like you can't be a blue blood anymore and all that or in that same category.
No, I'm
of
saying
that.
If he gets them to be good and they're in for like two or three seasons in the top 10 consistently, they make a run to the Elite Eight or something.
He makes them back to the Elite Eight. He probably is getting a blue blood job.
And it's Drew's saying that they're just going to pay him.
Indiana becomes a blue blood if they go. It is that fast with Indiana basketball. In my opinion, it's that fast.
I still think there are 20 jobs at least that you would leave Indiana for. I'd leave for UConn, Kansas, North Carolina.
The best comp you can
give. There's a bunch of jobs.
The text line's right.
The best comp is from a texter. I appreciate this. Indiana basketball is Nebraska football.
Very similar.
Bingo. Yeah. Spot on. Same deal.
And the same thing. It's like if you got Nebraska really good, there are 30 jobs you'd leave Nebraska for. And that's not like now. Just now. Not ever. Yeah. But like now, unless you really ponied up the dough, if the SEC came calling, at least you're in the Big Ten, so maybe that'd be different. But there are jobs that are just bigger than Indiana.
Nebraska's also in the Big Ten, which is still nuts to think about. Maybe they should go back to the Big 12.
I miss. Bring them all back. Nebraska, Colorado, Missouri, please.
Trash of the day.
Someone said, who was the dude that broke his leg in the tourney? Wasn't that an Indiana player? No, I think it was a Louisville player.
Kevin?
Kevin Ware.
Kevin Ware?
Yeah. That was the Final Four Wichita State was in. That was 20...
That one still gives me that.
14, 13, yeah. 13, something like that.
The year before they won the title, I think, right? Or maybe it was the... That was when Pitino was still there.
The vacated. Yes, that might be it. That might be the right timeline. Anyway, all right. Let's get to a story out of Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis police responded to an accidental injury call around 4 a.m. A gentleman named Gerald told police he was lying in bed with his female friend when his dog jumped on the bed. This happens. Been there before, you know? Dog likes to sleep in the bed.
My dog sleeps on the floor, but
the dog's name was Oreo, or is Oreo. Oreo. The one-year-old pit bull allegedly got its paw stuck in the trigger guard, and he hit the trigger.
And shot him?
Gerald, poor Gerald, says he was grazed by a bullet in the top of his left thigh because he had the gun in bed with him.
Why?
I have no
idea.
And
the safety wasn't on?
I have no idea.
The doggone clicked the safety with his paw, too?
Reports say the female friend left the scene after the accidental shooting and took the gun with her. The victim was taken to a hospital, non-critical condition. Quote, there was a freak incident and the dog jumped up and caused the gun to discharge, said a friend of the wounded man. The friend said that Pitbull is really friendly and that the friend is fine.
Reporter visited. The Pitbull shot him on purpose. Thanks.
Reporter visited.
I didn't bite him.
Reporter visited the house Monday and was told the victim was not there, but the dog named Oreo was. Oreo pulled the trigger accidentally.
My great uncle had like three straight black labs, and they were all named Oreo. After one would die, he just named the next one Oreo again. Is that weird?
No, I mean, I am under the... Everybody has their own... I don't... Like, my dog is named Zoe. I don't think I would ever have a dog again named Zoe. To me, it's like, that's the one dog I'll have my memories with, that dog that I have now named Zoe. And then it's, if I ever get a dog in the future...
The dog is nice is the funniest part of that entire story. Because, like, yeah, again, the dog didn't bite someone's face.
Why is he...
Okay,
he's in bed. He's in bed at 3 a.m. with... You know, he's in bed at 3 a.m. with a woman.
And you got a pistol?
And you got a... You have a... Yeah, you have a loaded gun... In bed with you.
Can't just put it in like the table side, you know? Like a little gun safe, sir?
Who knows? She took the gun, though. The woman took the gun. So was
she
it
shot
not-
him. Come on. She shot him. She's like, the dog did it.
So you
not running any GSR so in my hands
no
or anything.
Way, there is no way a dog.
I'm just trying to think.
What kind of SNL skit is this? A dog got his paw stuck in there and pulled the trigger?
I mean, the fact that the woman took the gun, yeah, makes me wonder what was going on there, actually. What was up there?
It would be conceivably hilarious if she didn't fire and she just left. Would they? Are they able to trace like dog prints on the gun to determine this? Like how does that investigation?
I don't know if you can.
I love can you
test for GSR like a dog paw?
I love a good crime show.
Well,
how is
Oreo
that happening?
Had some gun residue on his right paw.
How is that going down?
Get out of here.
I don't know, guys.
Like,
Oreo.
The investigation, how does it happen?
I mean, this could have been way worse. This is why this guy got grazed by a bullet.
Yeah, lucky he only got grazed.
How is there no, the story, like, the police just bought the story. Like, there's no, like, hey, we want to talk to the woman that was in the bed with you.
And where's the gun? And was it legal? I'm sure it's registered.
I'm
otherwise
guessing they had
gone to the police.
They had to have.
Yeah, true.
Let me just go to the hospital.
I don't go to the police, yeah.
Just go to the hospital with a gunshot wound.
You know, you just, you answer nothing. You'd be like, I don't know how this happened. I was just sitting
in
my bed.
I was in bed and I woke up and I was shot.
I was walking down the street and the gun just hit me. It's crazy.
I don't know. That story out of Memphis, Tennessee. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. One thing you think can change depending on the draft, but you like about this team in the AFC West. And I will find out if we've got some more news on the draft front next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Welcome back into Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you on a Friday edition of the show. We'll get maybe into the draft in just a bit. Plus, in the noon hour today, we head back out to Arizona for our conversation with Josh Vernier, Royals insider. Could be pushed back a little bit if you missed the news earlier today. Alex Gordon officially going to be inducted into the Royals Hall of Fame. What was the date we saw? July 13th?
June 13th
is when the ceremony will take place. But a no-brainer, well-deserved for Alex Gordon. We'll talk more about that in the noon hour today. But let's talk some Chiefs football, man, because understanding the full picture is not there yet for all these teams. We talked about how we viewed the Chargers and the Broncos and Raiders earlier in the week and what they had or hadn't done for the respective off-seasons. What do you make of specifically where things are at with the Broncos? Because they've made a couple more moves even since we talked about them on Tuesday.
Yeah, so the way I view it is, unless something dramatic happens in the draft that really sways this, I think the Broncos are the second best team in the division. So for anybody who might like get on a radio station sometime in the next 60 days and try to claim, here come the Chargers to win the AFC West, or I don't think anyone's saying that about the Raiders, that person would be an idiot. But for anybody who might be saying that, and I'm not saying that they're the best team in the division, look at them on paper. They have surpassed a team that has had a good quarterback for a number of years in their pecking order, in my opinion. They have the division's best defense, as it sits right now. They have the division's best offensive line because they did last year, so barring a big change there. They're okay at quarterback. I'm not saying they're still limited somewhat weapon-wise. It's better than it was. I'm not saying they're the world-beater offense, but the Chargers weren't a world-beater offense last year, and they have a limited weapon base, and their offensive line is worse than Denver's, and their defense is worse than Denver's, and they don't have the pass rushers Denver does. They're better at quarterback, but that can't make up the difference for the Broncos are doing a better job at team building than the other three teams that aren't, or the other two teams in the division that aren't the Chiefs right now in there. Maybe the draft will change my opinion. I'm pretty convinced I'm going to go into like August and September convinced the Broncos are finishing second in this division and making the playoffs.
They're only a game back from the Chargers, who did finish second. So it's not like there's a huge gap for them to make up. Even if you just want to go off of standings last year, it was the Chiefs, of course, and then the Chargers and then the Broncos by a game. In terms of 1-2-3 in this division, and yeah, clearly the Raiders are the worst team and still will be the worst team, I think, heading into the season. Yeah, look, the defense, I told you earlier in the week, I love the two 49ers signings. And then they add Evan Ingram, who had a really nice couple of years there in Jacksonville. The only question with Denver, and where you could say, hey, all right, yes, they had a great offseason, but are they actually the second best team in the division, is your belief that Bo Nix either elevates or, I guess, stays the same, or does he regress? Does he have a sophomore slump?
If he regresses, it's a problem. If he's just the same, I don't think it's a problem at all. Yeah.
And I was looking at their schedule. Of course, there's a lot of common opponents the Chiefs would have, other than the division. They're playing the AFC East, but also, remember, they were a third-place team, so they're playing a third-place schedule. They're not playing a second-place schedule like the Chargers. So the Broncos, other than the obvious teams that they're all playing, they get the Colts this upcoming season, the Texans, the Jags, the Titans. And then they have the same NFC schedule like the Chiefs, right? They're going to play the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Commanders, and the Giants. But it's not a terrible, I mean, if you're just going off of records, they're playing a combined 121 and 117 from year ago, record-wise.
So they got to face some more winning teams, but part of that is because the division had three
winning
teams.
It's all about your belief in Bo Nix, I guess, really is what it is. And in year two of Harbaugh, does the Chargers offense look better? The issue I have with Harbaugh offensively, he's old school. That's why they brought in Najee Harris. They're going to still, I don't think, ever unleash Justin Herbert. They did for that one Sunday night game. We all watched like, wow. Oh, yeah, I forgot Justin Herbert can still sling the ball pretty darn well. But they're still always going to be more of a run-heavy scheme because that's who Harbaugh is. And I still don't know across a 17-game schedule if that is going to allow you to win the games to put you in position to be a true threat. I understand last year, as we said, divisional standings, they were 11-6. They won 11 games. They won final three games of the season, as a matter of fact.
Versus the best version of a Sean Payton offense is just efficiency. We just murder you with efficiency over and over and over again in the style of Drew Brees. Look, I like Bo Nix is Drew Brees.
I'm more confident, though, that Harbaugh can get the leap forward than I am Sean Payton, who's now heading into, what is it, year three?
I was going back through, Denver? Like, but I went back through, and part of the reason I came to this conclusion is what you're talking about with Harbaugh. Harbaugh, even in the year he went to the Super Bowl, right, with the 49ers, they were an okay offense. Like, I'm not saying they were bad or anything, they were fine, right? And so he's never been some elite-minded offensive coach, and it always feels like their plan on offense is, I just hope Justin Herbert's real good. And that never reeks of a team that's, like, competing for a division until you figure out how to, like, utilize him and utilize the weapons around him. He'll be a tough-nosed team. They won't make mistakes. They were so much better defensively last year, but the Broncos were just as good as them defensively. Even despite that, they were just as good as them. They got better. Again, better pass rushers, better linebackers. They had the better offseason than the Chargers. And look, maybe it's way too early. Maybe I should wait for the rest of the draft or whatever day four free agents, five free agents we're looking at now. I'm just convinced that they're the second-best team in the division. And it'd be hard for me to move off of that, truthfully, before the start of the season. It would take some big power play moves or like the draft, just drafting the guys that I love somehow.
Yeah, I mean, if the Chargers pull off, let's say Trey Hendrickson does get traded from Cincy he ends up with the Chargers plus the draft picks that they have, I think that's still another way to change it. They brought back Mike Williams. I don't know if you guys saw that. That was the other move that the Chargers did make. Mike Williams, the wide receiver, room to go with Ladd McConkey. The Chargers draft picks, I'm trying to see how many draft picks that they have. Chargers 2025, not just draft order, but draft picks heading into this and compared to even Denver and all that. And how much can they actually improve the roster the rest of the way? They had a ton of cap space. They added three more comp picks this week. So they have 10 picks in the draft. Woo. Yeah, so they actually have a good amount of draft picks. Round one, number 22 overall, 1 second round pick, third round pick, and then they have a fourth, a fifth, and then the extra picks
like
are
a jillion,
four,
six and seven.
Four sixth round picks. Now, I'm assuming they're going to use multiple one of those to move up in another round, like move up a little bit closer in round four or three or something like that. I doubt they're taking 4 6-round selections. That would be pretty stunning.
I mean, good luck. If you can draft like Brett Veach does in the sixth round, you probably do. That's the whole thing with Brett Veach, why I'm like pro him trading down more, is that he does his best work rounds 4 through 7. He does fine work. I'm not complaining about rounds 1 through 3. He does fine there. I don't think he's like drafting poorly there or anything outside of. He's only had 3 or 4 first round picks total. Yeah, he does his best works round 4 through 7.
You know, just clearly, though, very, and it helps when you win. Harbaugh got that team to buy in so quickly.
Yeah.
Derwin James, the fact that he like immediately became kind of like the biggest Harbaugh fan, and that's the guy that's been in that organization and had every reason to be skeptical and everything like that. And he was all in, you know, and because they won right away. And I get it. Herbert, we're at the point now where he has to win in the playoffs for people's perception to change. I get it. But also, he is not a bad quarterback or anything like that. Ultimately, for his legacy and everything, he's going to have to start winning the playoffs. But we're just talking about how many wins can you get in the regular season, and
can they compete for second place in the division?
And Justin Herbert, you could do a million times worse in the NFL. We're talking about, you know, the Raiders trading for Geno Smith. We're talking about the Steelers either waiting for Aaron Rodgers or having to start Mason Rudolph or Russell Wilson again. We're talking about the Jets starting Justin Fields. I mean, there's a lot worse quarterback situation. The Cleveland Browns are going with Kenny Pickett or Russell Wilson. I mean, we can just go on and on. There's way worse situations in the NFL for Harbaugh to have to deal with.
He's got one of the, I don't know, 10 or 15 best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Is there a certain point where
it should be higher, but it hasn't?
Is there a certain point where we start talking about him the way that we do other quarterbacks who have made the playoffs who are really talented that don't win?
Kirk Cousins?
Is it them getting another wide receiver? I mean, even Kirk Cousins, Trevor Lawrence has done more in the playoffs. Obviously, he beat Justin Herbert, but
he's got one win.
Add another wide receiver that's high quality, and then it's Ladd and insert whoever, is that where we start to really judge them more harshly? Is, okay, you've got the defense, you've got the head coach, you've got better weapons than you've had before. At what point do we start judging it? I mean, or is it right now?
They stripped down the roster last year, and then they surprised a lot of people and won 10 games in year one with Harbaugh. And now the thought is, okay, they have full offseason with cap space and all this, and now they can get the roster up to snuff. The thing, if you look at Harbaugh's track record, there's going to be 3 or 4 years of really, really good stuff. And then in year 5 or 6, usually everywhere he leaves like a path of destruction behind. I mean, look at his time in Michigan, obviously. Look, even go back to his time with San Francisco.
Yep.
It's usually great for the first 4 or 5 years. And then he's like, well, I'm out of here. I made a mess. We had some success, and then I'm done. And we're only in year 2 of it. So it's still multiple good years ahead for Harbaugh. Their wide receiver room right now, Mike Williams, Quentin Johnson, who's been a disappointment, Ladd McConkey.
Yeah, it's just not good.
Their offensive line is legit, though. Offensive line is pretty legit. Rashawn Slater, Zion Johnson, Bozeman's the center, and then Joe Alt's the right tackle.
But again, it's still not as good as Denver's. Denver had the best offensive line in football, I thought, last year. That was part of the reason. If you want to talk about regression, where they could get worse in a hurry, have one injury on the offensive line where Bo Nix might have to like make a quicker decision than he was forced to make or had to make at any particular point.
But they're all still chasing the Chiefs, ultimately, right? And that's, you know, I saw yesterday, we played the audio, but I saw today there was another national radio host said he's picking the Chargers to win. I'm just amazed that on March 14th, we're already getting people saying the Chargers or whoever are going to win the West. Like, it's fine when the offseason's over if you want to make that prediction that this is the year the Chiefs streak comes to an end. But I just don't know how you can look at a team that's been so dominant, that's going to have the same core pieces back, same head coach, and before you even know the rest of the offseason for any of these teams, you can say, oh yeah, this is the year where they're losing, other than like you're just hoping that you're right this time.
Yeah,
I think that's all that it is they're tired of the Chiefs.
They just think that like 3 Super Bowls in a row, and look, if you're just basing on odds, attending 3 Super Bowls in a row, that would be a natural conclusion.
Oh, if you want to say they're not going to the Super Bowl, I don't think that's a crazy thing to say, because it's very hard to do. But I'm just saying to say they're already going to lose the division on March 14th is wild.
Yeah, they haven't made a draft pick.
We haven't even got to the mock draft sounder and where these teams are going to draft.
That's right.
Is this a kid draft today based on yesterday's conversation? Is this where we would have been drafted as kids?
Mm-hmm. No, I think that would have been.
Were you a good kid, Drew? Be honest.
Yeah.
He says, be honest.
Yeah. Did you ever get detention?
No.
You ever been suspended?
No.
Okay.
You have, right?
I've never been suspended.
Oh.
I never got detention. I told you I was a good kid.
Yeah.
I'm worse now.
There were also,
I got worse as time went on.
There were also sports ramifications, obviously, where I didn't want to be suspended because if I wanted to play, then why the hell would I mess around, you know, and everything like that. Now, I had a lot of friends who were going to detention or getting suspended because...
Rough crowd.
You changed there. I was say before, your profile pic was still like a high school profile pic, the one you had before.
That was
like a skater. It looked like you were about to go to the skate park.
That's when I was in like a junior in college. It was not high school.
But now
I didn't start getting in trouble.
By the way, real quick, we mentioned the haircut.
I'm gonna have to update it. You know?
Yeah, are you the photos you with the blonde hair? Are you gonna have to change it again?
We'll see. He's after his boy Joe.
I don't know. Up until you mentioned it now, I haven't thought about it. But we're going to Fox Sports for our mock draft.
Okay.
First time. David Hellman is the one who wrote this. And also, there's a new position in the first round and a new name for the Kansas City Chiefs in this mock draft. To pick 31, he has the Chiefs taking Mason Taylor, tight end from LSU.
Oh, this is, I know.
What?
This is Jason Taylor's.
Correct.
Like the former Miami Dolphin defensive end?
Yeah.
Jason Taylor's son, right?
Yes.
And this is Joy Taylor's nephew?
Quite the lineage with this kid, Mason Taylor.
Joy Taylor's nephew, right? Because Jason Taylor was her brother.
I don't know the exact lineage of the Taylor family.
That would have to be right?
Yes.
If Jason Taylor's her brother,
I know he's Jason Taylor's
the former
Taylor's
great
son.
Dolphin.
And I believe, yes.
If that's her brother, the nephew
of Joy Taylor.
Uh-huh. Mason Taylor.
So a tight end in the first round?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not anti-pass catcher in the first round, but
seems early.
How many snaps can you get Mason Taylor?
Do you want me to read this?
Yeah, let me hear the description.
It seems early for him, but go ahead. Yeah.
All right, so from, again, David Hellman of Fox Sports. The popular pick is going to be offensive lineman, and that makes sense, but with Jalen Moore signed on for the next 2 years, maybe the Chiefs look to the future. Travis Kelce is back for 25, but it's plain to see his career is winding down. Taylor is one of the year's most complete tight ends, and he'd help this offense as both a blocker and a receiver. If they're going to pick a tight end who would contribute more, Mason Taylor's higher on the depth chart than Jared Wiley off jump.
Is he higher than Noah Gray?
No doubt. I'm not so sure.
I think he's third.
The comp, we
and
love
Tanyan
comps.
Would be cut.
You love comps. Here's the comp for Mason Taylor.
Better be Travis Kelce.
Jason Witten. That'd be my guess. I don't know if he's that good.
Dallas Goedert. So you would take that, by the way.
Take that. Most teams would take Dallas Goedert.
Here's the weakness for him is makes it too easy to read and jump his route breaks. Needs to bring his hands inside to improve blocking. Okay, but tracks and adjusts to throws with ideal consistency. I feel like Mason Taylor. I don't even hate the pick. I thought that's early, isn't he? I thought he was a second round guy. That's all.
Going through the order
he's
now.
He's more of a second round guy. He could be. Going in the first round. It just depends on what teams are at. In terms of his production value, it's interesting. So I'm looking at Pro Football Focus. He had 248 snaps in the slot at LSU last year. So, you know, he can move around a little bit. Yardage-wise, he's about 550 targeted. Or he had 55 catches for 546 at LSU. Good, solid target. Really good player over the course of his time. He's not... No, Tyler Warren by any stretch of the imagination or Brock Bowers, but he's good.
This is like a new mocker, though. You know, when I see somebody's name I don't recognize, it's like, do I got to trust him? He has a team trading up for Jalen Milrow. Is that a possibility? Is Jalen Milrow going to be in the first
round?
Depending
on how desperate they are, I guess.
He had the Cleveland Browns trading up for Jalen.
Oh, from 33. Yeah, I see that.
He also had Shadur not going till 4. He had the Raiders trading up to get
fourth
him.
Overall.
Mm-hmm. Why would the Raiders take the 4th overall pick if they just gave Geno a contract?
There's an argument, though. You should have. If you felt
then just start Shadur.
Now, in fairness, they haven't given a new deal yet to Geno, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair.
It goes back to yesterday's convo we had where you were saying, if you like the guy, draft him. If you hate the guy, don't draft him, kind of thing, right?
I mean, I guess at that point, though, it's like, and maybe you take Geno because you're like, well, we can't be sure we're going to get Shadur.
There also is a very.
But in this case, it's like if Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, who they're projecting to go 2 and 3,
there's another interesting trade in this. He has the Broncos trading up to get Ashton Jeanty.
Oh, wow. Him and that, with that offensive line we just talked about, that would actually be really, really impressive. That'd be a problem, I would say.
Yeah. I wouldn't love it.
Yeah, that'd be a little bit of a problem. I don't want him in the AFC West.
He has the Chargers taking Mike Green, who's an edge rusher out of Marshall. He's one of the small school guys who's really, really, really good. He had 17 sacks last year. Of course, that's in Sun Belt play, but 17 sacks is 17 sacks.
No, Ashton Jeanty, I would not want him in the AFC West. I'll be honest. I understand it might only be like a 5-year problem, but that's still 5 years, a long time in the NFL. if Ashton Gentry, he's a type of, he's one of the guys in the draft that immediately will have success because of the position. Like right away, Ashton Gentry can be a 1,000-yard back.
If you put him in front of him, like you said, if you put him behind a good O-line too, man, it could make him even a little bit more dangerous with the home run speed and all.
So this is, they laugh when they heard the trade up for Milrow, but then they heard Brown. So they're
like, you're not actually that tracks.
They would be dumb enough.
You don't actually kind of trust this Hellman guy because he thinks the Browns are a stupid organization who might do dumb things.
He also had the Browns taking Travis Hunter second overall in this mock. So you get Travis Hunter, you get Jalen Milrow. Of course, Milrow is
I thought Jackson Dart was the hot name.
What's bizarre about the Browns is I understand they just gave Myles Garrett the huge money, but if you just like knowing that your quarterback situation sucks, why not also just draft Abdul? No, also draft Abdul Carter and just say, we're going Abdul Carter, Myles Garrett. We're just going to be a complete pain in the ass to go up against.
We're
going
to try to win every game 9-7 and hope that you physically can't move.
Drew's shaking
football.
His head because he doesn't want that for Cincinnati.
The Ravens don't want it. The Steelers don't want it. And the Bengals don't want it.
You know, you're not going to have your quarterback situation is a disaster. If you can't trade out of pick number two, I would just draft Carter and you have Carter and Garrett. That's insane.
That'd be a unit. I mean, that'd be a scary defense, even if nobody else plays defense for him. That's a scary defense.
You guys are absolutely right, though. Every game would be, their goal would be to win 10-7 every single time.
Kenny Pickett, he's set up for that.
All right, over on the streams, you can always watch the show, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. Subscribe, like over on Twitch and YouTube, then we can pop to the top of your feed. You'll know when we're going live. Over on YouTube, someone was asking about, they wanted the Desmond update, we promised, at 10, 20, or 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Here's the update. So I told you he had gotten in trouble a couple of weeks ago. Because the girl in class who, their boyfriend and girlfriend or whatever, even though we've told them you can't call yourselves that, you should just be friends.
Right.
Gave him a kiss on the cheek, and then the teacher had to call, explain that those aren't things we do at school. Yesterday, he comes home, and he said, I got great news. This can't be good. He said, she kissed me again.
Okay. He said, but what's your reaction when he says that, by the way?
No good, dude. He already got in trouble with the teacher.
What's your first reaction?
Well, I just said, okay, because I don't want him, like, I can't encourage his behavior. No, he's actively not.
Congratulations.
He's not supposed to be kissing in class. She kissed me on the cheek.
Yeah, they're in kindergarten. Yeah.
Desmond is not doing the kissing.
I know. But he said, but nobody saw this time, so nobody knows.
Oh, because he was worried about the other kid.
But the problem... The concern I have officially is the scheming. He said, last time the reason we got caught is she started to tell people about the kiss. They found out, got in trouble. He said, this time we decided we wouldn't tell anybody. I'm like, stop.
But he told you. That's good.
I tried to play it cool. Yeah. I'm like, you seem really happy, man. I'm glad you're in a good mood. You got to tell. Like tomorrow's, I told him, our talk today was, hey, today's a day. You got to tell her. No kissing at school. This is it. That was the last ride. And he's like, but no one saw. So his thing is like,
here's the worry. Do you think he's going to stop telling you?
Maybe. Yeah, I'm a little bit worried he's going to stop telling me. Of course.
Because you wonder. It's good that he's telling you. He's not trying to hide it from you. But you want to obviously keep that going.
I said, I'm glad you guys really enjoy each other's company. I'm glad you guys hang out. He said they sit at lunch they're like an old married couple. They sit together at lunch every day. He said, I talk to her a lot at lunch. You know, we sit next to each other every day. I'm like, oh my God.
What are kindergartens talking about at lunch together?
He's probably talking about Super Mario Odyssey or something. She's probably not even interested in what he has to say. That's the game he's like way back into again. So it's probably that one.
Back when you didn't have to have any problems, you know, that was really nice. When you could just,
for sure.
You just talk some Super Mario Odyssey. And I told him, I did give him one piece of advice on that. He said, I talk a lot when we sit at lunch together. I said, you know what? It's important to let her talk to you, you know?
Listen
to her.
Yes, life lesson.
Listen to what she has life to say, too. Listen to her interests as well. This isn't all about you, okay? This is a back and forth.
It sounds like you're really on the fence, Cody, where you're not necessarily giving him advice in a way, but also you don't want it to go any further. So I think at some point you should just stop giving him advice. Like, you know what? Keep on talking, Desmond. You're doing great. If you want it to end sooner.
I don't know, man. I'm worried we're going to get a call today from the teacher again and be like...
But none so far.
None today. And we couldn't decide. Would you have told the teacher and warned him and be like, hey, it seems...
No.
It appears this is still
going.
Absolutely not.
I thought it was fair to be like,
He told you, so...
I'm not going to get in trouble with your teacher. We're going to talk. I'm going to tell you can't. You know, like, we can do this.
Yeah.
And then he said... He's like, well, she hugs me. She hugs me a lot. I was like, well, how often? He's like, I don't know, like 5 or 6 times a day. I'm like...
Oh, jeez.
He's hugging so much.
Oh my gosh, this is Outstanding.
In kindergarten.
They're both six. I mean, I assume the kid's six. That's how old my kid is.
Huh. Yeah, hopefully you don't get a call today.
Yeah, fingers crossed, man. Let's just get to the weekend. Eventually, I can't believe how long this has lasted. Are you guys impressed that this is like, we're in a month into this?
It's for a month now, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm waiting for him to come home today and be like, well, I told her what you told me, and it's like, that I can't do this anymore.
She didn't seem like that was cool.
Yeah, and she was really upset.
I thought as soon as the whole snitching deal happened,
he's going to blame you. He's going to be mad at you.
As soon as the whole snitching thing and you got called the first time, I thought that was what was going to end it. I was like, yeah, dang, it's over. And then for it to be back on?
No.
Wow.
Now he's just like, they don't know. You know, nobody knows. Doing it in secret. Like, I don't like that.
And she's a stage five clinker run. All right, up next, guys, we'll get to what's trending, talk a little bit more about what happened in the Big 12 tournament with Kansas and what Missouri has in store tonight for Florida.